Now I would like to invite a new friend to come up, and I would like to introduce you to a new friend. Helen Kim is someone that I met through my wife Susan. Helen works part-time at Greenwich Center, where she is director of development or some sort of something like that. Director's a nice title, isn't it? Yeah, for a part-time person. But Helen is also a MDiv graduate in intercultural studies from Alliance Theological Seminary and has a DMin in personal coaching. She has been children's pastor and served in churches in many other ways and has a deep passion to help people meet Jesus and then to grow in Jesus. And she's spent a lot of time in training for that. And so I invited Helen to come and to preach to us this morning. And I'd like to pray for her. Let's pray. Can I put my arm on you?
Sure.
God, thank you for Helen. We pray blessing upon her. I pray that you would give her a richness of life that is filled with you and all that you bring. And I pray now that as she opens up your word, that she might speak to us in a way that calls us closer to you. Bless her. Thank you for her. Be with her, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Helen, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. It was kind of funny when I walked in and Bill explained this cross that's in the front of the podium, because as I was praying this week, and I don't normally use this phrase at all, it's something I've heard others pray, but I was just praying for the time here that really Jesus would be seen. And I said, hide me behind your cross. And I just think God has a funny sense of humor. But it's like, well, Lord, literally, hide me. But today we're going to be looking at Luke 18. I know you've been going through the book of Luke and verses 1 through 8. And it's a very interesting little story there with some intriguing characters. And as we look at it, I'm just going to first read it through and then we'll take a look at the text. But starting with verse 1, it says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" It's an interesting parable story on prayer. And I want to begin with a question to ask you. Have you ever reached a moment where you reached the end of yourself, where you felt like quitting, where something got just tiring, where life just kind of wore on you and you didn't want to move forward? I think if we're all honest, you know, we've all reached that point probably multiple times in our lives. And you know what's really helpful in those times is knowing that maybe someone has been through the same situation and lets you know they have and that there is a way forward. Sometimes when you know you're about to come up against such a situation, it's helpful when someone tells you what you need to move forward. And I think this story is kind of placed in a similar way. Right before chapter 18 begins, Jesus is giving a message that's really hard, that would make most people say, huh, is this what following you, Jesus, means? Let me think about this one. And it's a good thing, because Christianity, following Jesus, should not be taken lightly. It's not an easy call, and it's a tough call, but there is hope through it all that he gives us to sustain us through a tough journey that has more richness in it despite all the challenges in it. It's a greater richness despite it all. And the message that Jesus gives right before is about the suffering that he is about to encounter. Their leader who has been healing, he cast out a mute demon. He raised a girl who was dead. He healed a woman who was bleeding for 12 years just because she touched his garment. All these good things are happening, and as a follower of a great leader, you would think, I'm with the man. I'm with the one I want to be with. He is such a great leader. This is so great. This is amazing. Good things are happening. He even gives his power away to the 72 who go out. They cast demons out. They're healing people. And they're like, oh, this is kind of neat. You know, I would want to be with a man like that. But now he moves in and he says, just remember the big picture. Yes, all this is going on, but there's something more still to come. All of following Christ, there are moments of miracles. There are moments of supernatural encounter that are just amazing. But that's not usually the everyday of Christian life, isn't it? You know, he talks about how he is going to suffer and be rejected. This great leader is about to be rejected by all. He's not going to be seen as the great person to follow. He's going to be seen as a loser, a nobody. Are they still going to hang around? He is talking about the last days and how when Jesus comes back, that suddenly, it'll be suddenly. Just like Noah entered the ark and suddenly there was a flood and life was no more like what they expected. Just like when the fire of sulfur came down when Lot left Sodom and people were buying and selling, eating and drinking, and they were just living life. But suddenly, in that one day, in that one moment, life changed completely and there was no more tomorrow. And Jesus is giving some heavy warning. And he says in verse 33 of chapter 17, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will keep it. He's calling people to lose their life. At that moment, forget the casting out miracles. Jesus is saying, here's what the real picture is. As we hold out Christ, as we follow Christ, we're following him into these days, at a time when we will not be popular, at times when things will not go well, and it might be frightening. So it's a moment when you go, ooh, I know what it's like to feel like quitting, but this is a bit scary. And after he tells them this, he goes into this story, and he says the purpose of the story is that they would always pray and not give up. Yes, it is true. We are following Jesus, and Jesus is going into dark places because he came to give life to all people. He came to bring light to all darkness. There's not a single area of our world that God wants to keep broken. He wants to redeem all things. So if we are going to follow our Jesus into those areas, we have to be ready, and we have to be ready to dig in our heels. And that is why we need this story, that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. The only way we cannot give up is that we would always pray, always seek God, always keep that lifeline connected. And this story is really interesting. You know, it talks about this city, and it's an urban setting, and there's a widow, and there's a judge. Now picture, it's not just any judge, but an unrighteous judge who doesn't care what God thinks. He doesn't really believe in God. He has no fear of God. What can God do to me? I'm the judge. Well, God can do a lot of things to you, but, you know, he felt powerful. And he had no fear of man. He didn't care what people did to him. He was a powerful person. Nobody could touch him. Nobody could shake up this man. And in this city happens to be this widow who, you know, we have to understand that when we think of a widow now, we might not associate all these things. But back then, she was one of the most vulnerable in society. She had nothing. So picture yourself as this widow. Imagine one day you wake up and your spouse is no longer there. And he was your protector. He was your provider. Women did not go out and get jobs back then. There was no opportunity to. They did not receive an education. And so we don't have all these resources back then. Imagine you live back then. You happen to be born then, not today. And you have lost your family. And not only do you have the heartache of losing your spouse, but now you are vulnerable in society. Anything can happen to you. Anybody can pick on you. You may not have a place to live. It's not guaranteed because your husband's property now goes to his family on the male side. So it's not guaranteed. It's a very unsafe time. And not only that, you've dealt with enough stuff now, but someone has taken advantage of your situation and they've done you wrong, Right? It says, grant me justice against my adversary. Someone has seen this woman, instead of feeling sorry for her, instead of wanting to help her or take her in, they said, oh, well, I can use this to my advantage. She has no power. I will use my power and take advantage of her. And she has nowhere to go except to this judge. And how sad. I mean, this woman has so many cards stacked against her. She is alone. She has no husband to protect her and fight for her. She has no one speaking up for her. And she comes to a judge, but she happens to live in the city where there's an unjust judge. A judge who doesn't care about his position being a judge. He's not in it because of his code of honor to protect the people who are powerless. He's not there to make right decisions. He's in it for himself. And this is the one that she can only appeal to. What a pathetic situation. It's like hopeless. It is a sad and sorry situation with no hope. So this woman comes because where else is she going to go? And she comes to this unjust judge and says, give me justice against my adversary. And he says, no, go away. Simple. That's it. He just refuses. What would you have felt like? You have nothing. He's your one hope. And yeah, it's a far shot, but still, he's the judge of the city. Why not? Maybe give it a try. But immediately when you hear the word no, go away. I don't care. It's your problem. What would you have done? I think for me, I would have been crushed. You know, I have enough cards against me. I have enough suffering in my life. To even have someone in power not even care when he could just do something for me. Like maybe not for everyone else, but at least for me, in my situation, I have nobody else. Could he not do one thing? But he refuses. And not only once, but again and again. She's like a little pebble coming against this huge mountain. Flick. And all he does is flick her away, flick her away. She's nothing to him. He couldn't care less. You know, and in this picture, Jesus is showing us something interesting about prayer. Who needs who in this picture? The judge? No, he doesn't care. The widow is the one that needs the judge. So in this portrait, we are the widow, and we are the ones that need prayer. We're the ones that need this judge. Granted, we're going to go into that, no, God is not like this judge. You know, this is a portrait of what he is not like. But we are the ones in need. God doesn't need prayer. Isn't that interesting? You know, God is complete in the Trinity. He is content. He is satisfied. Who is it then that needs to pray? But we do sometimes prayer as a religious duty, don't we? Like, oh, I feel like I need to pray. That's right. You need to pray. But God doesn't need the prayer. God doesn't need to pray. Right? So we come, and the first thing we want to learn about prayer in this passage is that we are the ones in need. You know, as much as we might not want to be the widow, compared to the Almighty God and compared to our world, we are the widow. We have really not the ultimate resources that we need. All of us know that we need each other. We can't make life on our own, can we? Right? All of us need each other in the journey, but ultimately we need God because nothing will give us true life except God. There is no material thing, there is no education, there is no body that will give us real life except God. So we need prayer. But to continue the story, despite the mountain flicking off the pebble of this widow, she keeps coming. I mean, this woman is resilient. I admire her. Because she's nobody in society. Everyone would just close their eyes at her and say, oh yeah, no time for her. But she keeps coming to this judge who doesn't care and says, grant me justice against my adversary. No. She goes away. Comes back. Grant me justice against my adversary. No. Goes back. Like, I mean, it's almost comical when you picture the judge is probably like, again? You know, like every time there's a knock on the door, you know, it was, oh, it's her again. You know, after a while, it wears on her. And the Greek word actually where it says, you know, she will not beat me down is like she will not give me a black eye. It's just an exaggerated statement to say, man, this woman is annoying and she's aggravating and I will give her justice just to get her off my back. You know, this widow who had nothing moved this judge to action where he actually granted her justice. He actually did what she needed. Why? Because he didn't want to be bothered by her. But then how much more our God, who is the real judge, right? Who sees our heart and soul and will judge truly? How much more will he's a just God. He will deal with sin. But you know at what cost he dealt with sin? At the cost of his only son, Jesus. We have a good judge. How much more if this awful man who just purely did justice for the sake of the widow, just to get her off his back, how much more this good God who sacrificed his only son and didn't think too much of it, gave his only son up for us, for our sin, our wrongdoing. How much more when we come and say, God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, how much more will he respond? You know, it's interesting because there's two parables in Luke about prayer, in Luke 11 and Luke 18. And both there's an analogy, like, fathers, which of you, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? You know, no dad is going to say, oh, you want a fish? I have a secret, you know, here you go. And then whip out this, like, flailing snake. That'd be cruel. No dad would do that. The dad wants to bless the child, love the child, right? And nobody who asks for an egg, the Bible says, what father will give him a scorpion, right? No, that's an evil dad that does that, right? But a father's heart is to give what is good and right. And how much more God's heart, our Heavenly Father's heart, when he hears your voice, you're not nothing. You're not a pebble to him. He knows you by name. He says he knows the number of hairs on your head. The minute you cry out, you know, we sometimes think of God as listening from somewhere up there. But picture his mouth to your ear, or your mouth to his ear. The minute you speak, he hears you. Even when you cry out in the silence of your heart and you didn't say anything out loud, he hears you. This is a God who's so invested in you that he left heaven to come to earth. You know, to experience our brokenness, to be rejected by man, to not just go through a light suffering, but he took on the worst punishment. He had his skin ripped by the whipping and the leather cords. I mean, he really identified with the worst pain of humanity in every way. Public humiliation on a cross. He entered in the most broken areas. This is a good father. You know, we sang that he's good, he's good. He is so, so good. If you have any doubt this morning because you have been just waiting on God for something, remember that cross. God is a good, good father. We can't, beyond any definition of goodness in our world, we can't describe it, how good his heart is. So we know that we are the ones in need of prayer. We know that from this passage of the persistence of the widow, that our prayer changes things. How crazy. God doesn't need prayer, right? And he doesn't need to pray. But he has given it to us as a gift, as a way to connect with him, because we are the ones in need of God. Like, God, I need to know you're there. God, I need you. I need to know you. Without you, I am nothing. I am hollow. I am just a ringing. I am a shell. I think that was Charles Spurgeon that said, life is just shells. Like, everything's a shell. But when we pray, not only does he hear us, but it moves the heart of God, and he responds. He may not respond in the time that you think is appropriate, but God has heard every single prayer. And he does respond. How crazy that prayer changes things. You know, just like this widow is just nagging at this judge, and he moves in response. How much more when you cry out, when you long to see the good things, what he desires to see happen, and you cry out for it, your family, this world, the brokenness we see in the news all the time. You know, we cry out. Thank God we can cry out to God. But he answers and he responds. That is a crazy thing because you know what that means. You know, in our lives, in our personal lives, we all have seen brokenness. Amen? You know, there's things that are not right. Whether it's relationships in our family, whether it's perhaps people don't know God or... You know, and in our workplace, how many of us have experienced toxic workplaces, things that are just not quite kingdom, right? I have experienced, I know there's a purpose behind everything. I experienced so many toxic workplaces, despite my whole background in ministry. That's the funniest thing. But in the toxic workplaces, in the poverty we see in our world, people sleeping on the street, that is just not right. God did not create any human being and say, well, you will be abused and you will be sleeping on the street and that is okay. God's heart is wrecked. And he has given us, his people, the privilege of prayer because prayer is powerful and prayer changes things. That little widow got her justice from an unrighteous judge. How much more will God move on our behalf as we step into brokenness, as we step into areas of darkness and we say, God, this is not right. You are a good God. God, release your kingdom. God, give me your love beyond what I can give right now. Give me your forgiveness. Give me the strength to do right in this place. Give me the chance to love. Give me these opportunities. Give me whatever it is. Lord, heal what I see here. Sometimes, you know, as you see people on the street, there's so many broken faces. Like, there's just sadness. I mean, I live in New York, and I just sit at a cafe, and I look at people going by. And it's first fun to watch their fashion, because New York has the quirkiest outfits in the world. It's just so much fun. But then you move to their face, and it's really heartbreaking. There's a lot of just, like, straight face, you know? But behind that, there's just, like, brokenness. And if we took the time to look at the people around us that we just passed by, there's a lot of darkness. And when we lift up a prayer, even though we never said anything to that person, sometimes we might, God moves in response. People of God, we have the gift of prayer. Wherever we go in our city, wherever we move, whatever brokenness we encounter, whether it's overseas or it's local, whether it's right in our home or it's in our workplace, when we pray, God moves in response. That means that light can grow. That means that kingdom presence can grow. That means transformation can happen. Jesus did not say that, oh, this power is just mine. He gave it away to 72, and then he said, you will do even greater things than these with the Holy, through the Holy Spirit. When we say, oh, yeah, church is just not what it's supposed to be, and our world is just sad. I hope Jesus comes back soon. We are preempting what God wants to do. We are giving up, and we're not, you know, Jesus said, you ought always to pray and not lose heart. We're giving up. We're not meant to give up. And the only thing that will keep us from not giving up is prayer. And the third thing is, yes, prayer changes the heart of God. We need prayer, but we need persistence in prayer. That widow finally got what she deserved because she kept coming and she's like, grant me justice against my adversary. No. Grant me justice against my adversary. No. But she kept coming. She knew she was being annoying, but she kept coming. Does not mean that when we come to God that we are annoying. We're like, I don't want to bother God again. I asked for this like 20 times. But God wants the prayer. This is a contrast example of how much greater God wants us to come. He says, Jesus said that this parable was so that they could always pray, ought always to pray and not lose heart. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. Life is exhausting. It is tiring. Every day is a new battle because we are in a spiritual war. It's not seen, and it might be the prettiest. Like Greenwich is one of the most prettiest looking places I've ever been. As I worked here, I was like, oh, wow, this is like so serene. And people say hi to you in the street. This is awkward for me. And it seems really nice, but I know because human beings live here that it is not as pretty as it seems. That behind all the beautiful buildings and the homes and all that whatnot, because human beings live here, it is not quite perfect. And I know that there is a need for prayer, and we need persistence in that prayer. If that little widow could keep going, how much more would happen when we come to a good God who is willing to respond, who is willing to heal, who is willing to unleash so much of his kingdom presence? But he's waiting for us to pray. And will we be persistent? There's a really challenging question at the end of this passage. It says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Then it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith on earth? That's scary. Jesus said, yes, God's going to move in response. Yes, God's going to do it. So seek him. But will anyone believe in me when I come back? When that time finally comes, because it's not going to happen in a year, it's not going to happen in a day, it's going to be years and years, and we don't know. It may be way beyond our life. Maybe it's not. Nobody knows. But will Jesus find any true believers? Will anyone keep saying, no, God is all in all? You know, it might all look like this. Every day is a battle, but I know God lives. I know I need him. I know our world needs him. And keep persisting and keep knocking on the door of God every single day. Will we be giving up? Or will we press in and continue? You know, I asked you a question in the beginning. I said, are any of you tired? Have you ever reached a point where you wanted to quit? You know, when you want to quit, it's like the time when you feel this state of, like, you just want to sit and not move. It's like every molecule just wants to be still. Then you would die. But, you know, you don't want to move. There's no desire for momentum. And so Jesus knows that, and that is why he says, I know you're going to get tired. I know what's coming. He experienced humanity. He knows what tiredness is like. There were times when he was weary. But he said, this is why I'm telling you, dig in your heels. You need to seek out prayer. When you don't feel like it, pray. When you feel like it, pray. When you see brokenness, pray. When you're on the top of your life and life is great and you don't feel like you need anything, pray. Because that's your lifeline. It's the only life-giving water that's going to keep you on the journey. You know, human beings don't live long without water, right? I don't know, I forget exactly. Is it a month or a week that you can't live without water? But you can't live very long without oxygen, right? In the same way, we are spiritual beings. We are physical beings, but we are spiritual beings. And our soul cannot live without prayer. God is the oxygen to our soul. You know, if we long to see, and we are created to see, the things that Jesus did. You know, there's a reason why miracles are constantly still happening today in Africa, in South America. There's an openness to what God can do there that we have become closed and we become so almost religious in our prayer. But if we would persist and we would cry out and we would knock on the door, we might see kingdom breaking into our lives and then releasing to the world in new ways. Do you want a fresh revelation of God? God has so much more than any high you ever had with God. Any deep encounter you have with God, God can explode that out of the water. You know, whatever you tasted, whatever miracle he might have done through your life and through your prayer that you prayed, he can do so much more. And he is so much richer than we could never reach the end of that. You know, sometimes I love going back to old biographies of Christians because it just is sometimes so refreshing to be reminded of the truth. And one of the things I used to read when I was younger that I loved was the bio of Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China. Any of you familiar with Hudson Taylor? I love Hudson Taylor and how he was very unique. But he grew up in a home that had faith, but he had no faith. You know, but he had a mom who prayed. And so from that, he really felt that he received that because it's really through her prayer. At one point, you know, he was not really interested in God. And he was just reading a tract one day in his father's library. But at that very moment, his mom decided, I'm not going to give up on this prayer. And today, I'm just going to keep praying until I feel like God's answered. So we're not talking about, Lord, my son needs Jesus. I know you know. Amen. You know, that's it. You know, she said, until I feel that inner something of release from God that he has heard my prayer, I'm not going to let go. So she was on her knees and just pleading with God for her son's salvation. Hour after hour after hour, I am not talking just calmly sitting there, but just like this earnest prayer, the kind of prayer that you picture Jesus praying in the garden before he's on the cross. Say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You know, she is pleading. She cares so deeply that her son genuinely know God before she's gone. And at that very moment, he's just reading some tract, and he just logically came to know God. You're just like, huh, oh, what does this mean? Oh, it means that I need Jesus. So therefore, oh, my only response can be to worship. And that's how he just entered into Christ. It was just a very simple, but that moment of understanding, he had always been around Christian language, Christian teaching, but no breakthrough. What caused that breakthrough? There was intercession. There was prayer. Someone had the privilege of reaching out to God, his mother, and pleading God, and God was moving in response in a powerful way. And so then he had to grow, right? He was planning to now go into missions to China. And he knew that, I mean, imagine now going to a foreign country, if you were to just up and leave. But back then, there was no technology or the communication lines to call back home that we had today. This is the 1800s. And so he said, I need to really learn prayer, to depend on God, to move man through God through prayer, right? So to move the heart of man and to see what God can do in man and to see that things can happen, that people will respond, but all I'm going to do is just pray. And so he decided to start teaching himself that. And so what he decided was his boss had told him, tell me when your payday is due so that I will pay you. But he said, I'm not going to ask for it. I am going to pray that God reminds him and he will pay me. Okay. So he was going through the week and his boss obviously didn't remember. And then at the end of a week, he got, you know, he was invited to some family where the wife was dying. And he went to the home to pray with them. And he sees this sad, poor family, and the children are obviously not eating well. They were starving, they were cold, and just a sad family. And in his pocket, all he had left from his last paycheck was half a crown, right? And he was just like, oh, if only if it was broken up into a few more coins, I could give them a few shillings. He's like, I can't give them everything. This is all, literally all I have left. And then as he began to pray for them, God convicted his heart and said, how can you pray and say that you want to go to this foreign land and pray that people come to know Jesus, and you are not even willing to give up half a crown here locally to this family who's desperately in need of it? So he was coming, he prayed for the family, and then he got up and he's like, here you go. And he gave up the half crown, but that was it. He had nothing left to eat with, to go back with. That he literally gave God everything. The next day was Monday, and normally he said he doesn't get mail. And for some reason, a letter came. And he opened it, and it's a blank piece of paper, but inside was half a sovereign, which is 400 times the amount of half a crown, right? Wow. So God moved somebody's heart, because he was praying. Hudson was like, God, I gave up everything, but now I need you to show up. And so it came in the mail. So now he's living off of that. The boss still has not paid him. And now in one day, his rent is due. And his landlady is going to ask him for the rent check or the rent payment. And at that day, at 5 o'clock, he's still praying. He's like, God, I still don't have money to meet the rent. But I know that you, I can trust you with, you know, a crown. You know, I can trust you with so much more. You're the king of all things. So I don't know how, but, you know, and so he's just praying. And then his boss stops by and says, oh, you know, the funniest thing happened. You know, my client who owed me money, you know, he usually sends me a check. But for some reason, he felt compelled to come at night and pay me in cash. And then so out of that money, he paid what was due to Hudson. He remembered, he actually left, and he came back and was like, hey, don't I need to pay you for your salary? And they paid him right there, just in time to meet his rent check. It might seem like, oh, wow, that's just too many coincidences. But test the heart of God. You know, like, God is a good God. We will see the miracles when we actually lean on him and reach out for him. You know, we will see God move in incredible ways in our world. And our workplaces, our families, our communities are so desperately in need of the people of God to go deeper in our lives and our walks with God, to discover a richer God than we have thus far, so that we can give a greater God to them as well. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just come before you. God, it's a privilege to be able to just open our mouths and speak to you anywhere, not have to come all the way to some court like that widow did. God, you have given us through your Son free access anytime, any place, no matter how dark our lives are, no matter how great we're walking with you or how far we are from you, at any point we can always come to you. And God, we thank you for that. Jesus, we ask that you would deepen our walks with you. God, whatever we know of you today is just a shallow picture of what you long to show us. God, would you surprise us today as we seek you in prayer? God, teach us new ways to pray. Teach us persistence in prayer. God, teach us to press through, Lord God, things that have not yet been accomplished so that we see these answers. Help us to know you in a new way through new levels of prayer, God, all over this church. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come. that you stir our hearts, God. Draw us near to you. Help us to hear you. Help us to learn how to sit with you. Help us to just discover more of you so that in our own walks, we discover your healing and redemption. And in our workplaces, our homes, our communities, we can deliver those things too because of what we've come to taste of you. God, bless this church and bless each and every life. You know the needs here. God, deepen our walks. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.